Pinkerton's agency soon began attracting nationwide and even international attention. He chased train robbers and spied on conductors suspected of pocketing fares they collected from passengers. For Adams Express, his undercover agent set up an elaborate sting, which included Kate Warren posing as the wife of a shady businessman and John White pretending to be a big city forger to catch the Montgomery, Alabama branch manager who had stolen $40,000. Pinkerton changed the business's name to Pinkerton's National Detective Agency to reflect the fact that his Midwest company was evolving into a national one. Pinkerton's aggressive tactics and incorruptibility made him hated by the criminal underworld, but it never cowed him. He found crooks, whom he studied intensely, generally to be an unimaginative lot with predictable patterns, who could not keep their mouths shut about the crimes they committed, and who could easily be defeated, he said, by anyone with a moderate amount of intelligence. The champion lawman, however, was a lawbreaker in one respect. Pinkerton routinely aided runaway slaves, a violation of the Fugitive Slave Act that could have landed him in jail if he was caught. He allowed the attic and cellar of his house to be a way station for runaways coming up the Mississippi or Ohio rivers to reach Canada. He became an emissary for John Brown, who visited his home with runaways. He met Frederick Douglass, and he raised money for the Underground Railroad. He found America's slaveholding class as repulsive as the one against which I had rebelled across the ocean, he wrote. After Brown was captured in the abortive 1859 raid on the federal arsenal at Harper's Ferry, Pinkerton raised money for his legal defense fund. As the sun rose on February 23, 1861, Pinkerton gave no thought to how Lincoln would be protected once he arrived in Washington. He should have. Remnants of pro-secession paramilitary groups that had been openly drilling in Washington remained in the city. At 6 a.m., the B&O train pulled into the dirty and cheerless Washington Depot with its tower and clock, which stood at New Jersey Avenue and C Street within sight of the Capitol. Buses and hacks lined up at the station's entrance, their drivers yelling at the top of their lungs to attract the attention of early morning arrivals who needed rides. Lincoln stood up in the sleeper car, stretched his tall frame, gave a weary smile, and said to no one in particular, "Well, boys, thank God this prayer meeting is over."